Thank you, Caleb. Hello, everyone. My name is Kamal, and it's my pleasure. That's just too necessary a joke, isn't it? To be preaching to you today as we continue our series in the seven lies of contemporary culture today. Let us pray before the great God Almighty, who is the source of all joy and pleasure, and let us ask him that he would be pleased to reveal himself to us through the preaching of his word. Let's pray. Thank you, Father God, that in you is fullness of life. Thank you that you are pleased to create this world, as we have looked at in the Catechism. You are pleased to give us your Son. What a joy, what a pleasure it is to know him, and what a joy and pleasure it is to come before you, the God of all joy, wholesomeness, and fullness. We ask, Holy Spirit, will you be pleased to dwell within us and to open the eyes and ears of our heart, that we may know you better and delight in you. Amen. We live in the healthiest, wealthiest, most comfortable era of human history. And we live in one of the healthiest, wealthiest, most comfortable countries in the world. And so we all live like kings and queens, don't we? Folks, think about it. We can please ourselves these days. We can have whatever we want, anytime we want it, because we are so wealthy, we are so comfortable. We don't even have to go outside of our homes. For those of us who are introverts, this lockdown may not make a whole lot of difference. Because if we want food, there's Uber Eats or eatmore.com or whatever other those apps that we use. If we want to travel, we don't even need to get into our own car. We just hire an Uber. And so, of course, we're all happy and healthy and safe, and nobody at all suffers any mental health, and nobody's miserable and nobody's frightened, because we can please ourselves. We live in a world of unquestioned pleasure. Yeah, I know, sarcasm alert, mega, right? If we are so wealthy and comfortable today in this early 21st century, why are we not more happy? In particular, why are our young people suffering record levels of crisis, mental health, misery, and fear? Why is it that things like social media that were supposed to connect us with each other, it's even in the name, social media, and help us to enjoy life and to bring joy, pleasure to each other? Why is it that these have become cesspools of anger and vice and lies, deception and fear? We are continuing our series in the seven lies of contemporary Western culture. And for those of us who are joining for the first time, perhaps from Maryland's, or you are just not a regular at Grace Point, this is an unusual series. We are not usually, I would explain whatever the Bible passage we have read. So Psalm 16, I would go through it verse by verse. But in this particular series, we have picked the seven topics. You can just look them up online, you know, identity and tolerance, etc., etc. We have picked these seven topics because we think today, Western society deeply misunderstand what these concepts, what these ideas are. And therefore, Western society as a sort of culture, as a nation, as a group of people, it is doing more harm than good. Pleasure, when it comes to pleasure, what we see from the Bible is that pleasure, strictly speaking, is not the problem. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to have a full life, full of meaning and purpose. That's actually good. That's normal. That's not unhealthy. The problem of pleasure is that the way we think about pleasing ourselves, the way we even think about pleasure these days, it sets off this vicious cycle of laziness and greed. It sets off the cycle of what the Bible calls sin. Basically, under contemporary conditions of wealth, we have so much wealth, we get used to stuffing ourselves. with all kinds of goodies right here, right now, without having to work hard for it, without having to wait, without really even having to ask politely. It's mine. Give it to me now. I demand it. I'm entitled to it. And so it sets off a vicious cycle of greed, laziness, entitlement, selfishness. And that is what the Bible calls sin, that downward spiral of vice. Sin is not just doing bad things. It is that. Sin is not just breaking God's law. It is that. But it's much more. Sin is the idea that we as human beings are not naturally good people. In a state of nature, we are vicious people. We tend to look after ourselves first and put other people second. We are quick to take. We grab stuff. We are very slow to give. We are not generous. We get angry real fast. And we tend to hold grudges and we are slow to forgive. And for our topic today of pleasure, the point of all of this is that sin makes us want to please ourselves. Do things our way, and we tend to use the people around us to entertain us and please ourselves. We tend not to seek to please other people, and especially we don't think about pleasing and honoring God. We're so wealthy and comfortable these days, the first step in that downward spiral of sin, we are so wealthy and comfortable that we tend to think we don't even need God. Contemporary Western luxury tends to make us atheist. Back in the bad old days, life was hard. Some of us are old enough to remember days when even the supermarkets were not that common, and they closed early. And so it wasn't just under a pandemic. If you wanted to eat during the weekend, you'd need to go and stock up because shops didn't open on Sundays. Back in the bad old days, if there was drought or floods, it wasn't just that food prices went up by 50 cents. People really starved. If there was a pandemic, people couldn't Zoom. We didn't have vaccines that we could get our injection. People just got sick and died. And that meant, back in the bad old days, when we did not have as much wealth, that people knew two realities of life, just because those realities were up close and personal to our faces, to our experiences more. First of all, we are fragile. We are dependent creatures. We depend on each other. We depend on the environment. We depend on society. And people knew that pleasure, secondly, that pleasure is fleeting. We cannot expect, we are not entitled to permanent joy, permanent titillation, permanent satisfaction. Most of life is a hard grind. You work hard, and if you get pleasure, joy, and satisfaction, it's only as a reward for working hard at first. But today, we think the opposite. We think that we're independent. We don't need society. We don't need our families. We don't need God. Anyone who thinks they need God is a weak loser. And we think we are entitled in our independence to demand pleasure now. Now that makes us all in practice atheists. Even if you call yourself a Christian, even if you call yourself religious, I invite you to take a good hard look at your normal weekly pattern. Whenever you have your meal, do you say grace? Do you say thank you to God for the food? And is it just a religious ritual or do you actually mean it? Do you pause to think about the fact that if not for Almighty God, He caused the crops to grow, He brought the animals to life so that we can eat and we can live. Does that actually come into your mind? Or is it just like years ago, okay, decades ago, showing my age here, one of those Bart Simpson, the Simpsons episodes? Dear God, my father worked hard for this food, so thanks for nothing. Praise me, I'm entitled to my pleasures. God, our problem is that God becomes a hindrance to our lifestyle, because we know any religion, you don't even have to be a Christian, any religion, God or the gods, have certain requirements for how we are supposed to live. And in these independent, pleasure-oriented days, in today's pleasure-oriented society, any concept of a God, an authority outside of myself, who has the rudeness to tell me how to live, is cramping my lifestyle, because I am independent and I am allowed to please myself. And so if that kind of God exists, I should kill him because he's a bigot. Funny that. It's exactly the attitude that the religious leaders had about Jesus when he inconvenienced them when he was on earth. Read the Bible. But when we try to live for ourselves, because we're independent, pleasure-seeking beings, okay? When we try to live for ourselves, what actually happens is we live just for this world, for trying to stuff our faces with the material pleasures of this world. See, atheism is more than just the denial, strictly speaking, of God. To be consistent, atheism has to deny the entirety of a supernatural realm. And that means physical matter, stuff that we can taste and see and feel and so on, is all that really exists. It's the ultimate foundational reality of the universe. And that means that we humans are, at the core, radically, merely physical beings. We are not fundamentally relational beings. Okay? Love and relationships are not at the core of who we are. At the core of us, we're just flesh, meat. And we're not fundamentally intelligent, intellectual, rational beings. At the core of ourselves, we're just meat, hunks of meat that happen to breathe. And because of the random processes of evolution, we have certain neural electrical firings that fool us into thinking we have meaning, we have purpose, and we love each other. Parents, you only love your children because your children bear your genes, your DNA. You don't really love them at the core of your being. You're merely using them to pass on your DNA. And we've had a couple of weddings over the last few months. And one of my friends actually had to have their wedding on Friday just before lockdown. But folks, those of you who have just got married, I got bad news for you. If according to contemporary consistent atheism, your romantic and sexual love for each other is not real. All you want to do is make babies, okay, so that you can pass on your DNA. Love doesn't really exist at all. It's just the product of brain chemistry, the ideas of truth and justice, okay? Black Lives Matter and so on, okay? We should have racial truth and justice. I'm sorry, that's just the products of brain chemistry. If you shove enough drugs into someone, if you punish them enough and give them enough rewards, you can change their brain chemistry so that you can make them believe anything you want, because we're fundamentally just meat on legs. I'm sure many of us are familiar with George Orwell's classic dystopian novel, 1984. And for those of you who haven't read it, spoiler right at the end, that's what happens. The bad guys win by manipulating the main character, Winston Smith. They manipulate the main character to love Big Brother. And that's what it means. That's how life is. If we believe that we are only physical beings, because there is no supernatural realm, because there is no God or the gods. That, my friends, is consistent atheism. And that means that we have to feed our physical, this piece of meat, with other pieces of meat. Hedonism, the pursuit of material pleasure, becomes the end goal of life. And folks, isn't that what we see today? Desperately trying, the whole of life becomes a bucket list. Desperately trying to titillate our senses with pleasure, trying to please ourselves, fill ourselves with more and more food, the best kind of food. Okay, I've eaten too much, now I need to go for a jog so I can eat more food. Travel to as many places as possible to fill up our experiences with our senses with experiences of joy. Go on more cruise liners or bus trips or road trips and train trips on the GAN and the Indian Pacific, which are basically cruise liners on rail tracks, eating the best life, entertained, pleased by everyone around us who are our entertainers, anything and everything to make you feel good. When I was little, there used to even be ads on television where this phrase, do the right thing, was the slogan of the ad. It was about putting rubbish in bins. A bit of a comment on the society I grew up in, hey, that you even got the government has to plead with people to put rubbish in bins. But that was the slogan, do the right thing. Nowadays, who thinks about doing the right thing? Do what's right for you. Please yourself. Hedonism. The radical pursuit of pleasure as the end goal in itself. Hedonism demoralizes. It stops us thinking in terms of right and wrong. It stops us properly thinking in terms of morality. It makes us think of what's convenient for me. Therefore, hedonism discourages. Because we don't believe in right and wrong, in morality, we don't have the courage to stand up for what is wrong. Stand up against what is wrong and stand up for what is right. Because there isn't any. So because we have been demoralized, we've become discouraged. Or more precisely, we only care about what ourself. We become totally self-centered, egocentric. And we expect everyone to entertain me. Pleasure is not the problem, folks. The problem is sin. But what sin does is it allows pleasure to set off this vicious cycle of demoralization, this vicious cycle of becoming selfish, greedy, lazy, and indifferent because all of life is about me. The rest of the world can be falling apart for all I care. All of my family, the rest of my society, the rest of my community could be sick, miserable and in lockdown for all I care. But as long as I am having fun, as long as everyone is affirming me and pleasing me and I can party, then life is good. Who cares about anybody else? Now, I hope no one watching is actually living like this because that's really disgusting. I have spoken in this way to try and make it more extreme. I don't know anyone who literally lives the way I just described it. But what I have sought to describe is the way that contemporary Western, secularized, atheistic society thinks about pleasure. And you know what? The Bible knows that kind of way of thinking because that is exactly the attitude that got the people of God, Israel and Judah, exiled. God rescued, those of us who are familiar with the Bible, you will be familiar with this story. In the Bible, God's people were enslaved in Egypt. And the Egyptians, they were not having a good life. They had no pleasure. The Egyptians enslaved the people of God, the Israelites, and made them work for the Egyptians. God rescued them and took the people of God, Israel, to the promised land. The promised land was meant to be a place of pleasure. That's why pleasure is not the problem. In Deuteronomy 28:11, God, through Moses, says, the Lord will give you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. So in the land of Israel, the biblical described land of Israel, God himself would give his people lots of children, lots of domestic animals, and lots of crops. That's wealth. That's pleasure. The promised land was meant to be a place of pleasure. Pleasure is not the problem. Wealth is not the problem. In fact, in 1 Kings 4, especially verse 20, 1 Kings 4, it describes how at the time of Solomon, the king of great wisdom, son of David, that was the high point of the physical, historical time of God's kingdom. And here's what it says in 1 Kings 4 verse 20, the people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They ate, they drank, they were happy, they enjoyed pleasure. But the purpose of that pleasure in the promised land was to please and honor God and care for people. It wasn't meant to be selfish. There's the problem. In Deuteronomy 28 verse 10, just the verse before, okay, 28:10, it says, all the peoples of earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord. They were supposed to honor God with their wealth. They were supposed to offer themselves in their joy to God and enjoy offering themselves to God. They were supposed to offer the best of their crops to God in thankfulness and joy, fully enjoying, finding pleasure in God giving them pleasure. You see how that pleasure is not the problem. It's what are we pleased by? Where are we seeking pleasure? Who are we seeking pleasure with? Basically, relationships in the promised land were more central than just the stuff that they were playing with. The relationships with God and relationships with each other and convictions about truth, justice, morality were more central than just having stuff that they were supposed to play with. But God's people got everything backwards. They stuffed themselves with all the goodies of the land and ignored God and ignored poor people. There's lots and lots of chapters in what we call the Old Testament, the first two-thirds of the Bible, where God's prophets slam the people of God for being hedonistic, for being selfish, ignoring those who are poor and weak, and ignoring God. Just one example is Amos chapter 6, verses 4 to 7. Amos 6, 4 to 7. There God says, you lie on beds inlaid with ivory and lounge on your couches. You dine on choice lambs and fattened calves without even any Discover vouchers. You strum away on your harps like David and improvise on musical instruments. You drink wine by the bowlful, Hunter Valley vineyards for the win, and use the finest lotions. That's pretty pleasurable. It was a good life in the promised land, but you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph. The people back then did not care about the decline and degeneracy, the immorality and the idolatry of the people of God. Joseph there meaning the leader of God's people, the rulers, the aristocrats over God's people. Therefore, verse 7, you will be the first to go into exile. Your feasting and lounging will end. And that happened. Assyria first, then Babylon came and slammed the people of God. And they went from wealthy to miserable. They went from being the rulers, the aristocrats who are getting all the taxes and living big on other people, to being the slaves in a foreign land. And this is why we need someone who gets pleasure right. Someone who knows that there is more to this world than what we can just feel and touch and taste. Someone who knows that relationships, not just physical matter, are at the center of the universe. Someone who knows that truth and justice and morality are more important than just having a safe, comfortable time. We need Jesus. Because think about it. Jesus got his priorities right. He was pleased to worship God. He put God first. He was pleased to serve others, even when other people took him for granted. And he put himself last. In John chapter 6, verse 38, John 6:38, Jesus says, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And in John 5 verse 30, he says, I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Pleasure in this context doesn't mean to entertain. It means to do the will. It means to satisfy. And so here, Jesus himself, as God incarnate, God the Son, is the ultimate obedient human who seeks to please God first. Jesus found his pleasure, his joy, his purpose in pleasing God, which is where pleasure should lie. Remember, pleasure is not the problem. Sin is the problem. And the downward spiral of vice that sin causes, greed, indifference, laziness, that's the problem. Jesus was different. He found his pleasure in pleasing his Father God. And God's will, God's pleasure, was that Jesus would sacrifice himself for sinners. That Jesus would find his ultimate fulfillment in giving himself as a sacrifice for greedy, lazy, entitled, indifferent people who don't care about him and who abuse him and each other. Isaiah 53, that famous servant passage in the Bible. Those of us who are familiar with the Bible are familiar. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But in Isaiah 53 verse 10, it says, it was the Lord's will, literally pleasure. It was the Lord's pleasure to crush him, to crush this sacrifice. And then at the end of verse 10, the will, the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. It was God's will that Jesus be a guilt offering. The Lord makes his life a guilt offering, still in verse 10, middle of verse 10. And Jesus was pleased to obey that. Therefore, still in verse 10, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. He came back from the dead. Because Jesus was pleased to obey God, was pleased to please God, and that pleasure was that Jesus would find his pleasure, his fulfillment in sacrificing himself for us greedy, lazy hedonists. Therefore, Jesus now enjoys the ultimate pleasure, the ultimate satisfaction of fullness, resurrection, eternal life at the right hand of God himself. We need Jesus to rescue us from our greedy, selfish, lazy hedonism and to show us how to please God and to live a life of ultimate pleasure, the right kind of pleasure, where we please God and please, honor, serve each other. Now, a quick qualification, Jesus is not a masochist. He didn't enjoy getting himself hurt. Masochism is where you literally get like titillation. You literally enjoy getting hurt, getting pinched, getting punched. That's not good. If anyone is like that, please go find some help because that is just not healthy. Jesus was not a masochist. Jesus was a hero. Why do we celebrate Anzac Day? Because young Australian men were heroic, were strong, courageous enough. They were pleased to go overseas, halfway across the world, and to fight to defend our nation and to defend the virtues, the morality, the way of life that as Australians we think is good and right. And so we honor them. We march to remember them. Jesus was that kind of hero. He did what he knew was going to hurt, and he did not do it just for fun. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was terrified, "Father, if there is any other way." But he went through with it because he was pleased, he desired, he was willing to do it for us. Because he loves us, he cares for us. Relationships are more central than just having fun. Righteousness is more central than just having fun. Therefore, he was pleased, he was willing to, because of his love, his relationship towards us, he did what he had to make us righteous so that we can hear the God himself say to us, "You are my son, you are my daughter, adopted in Christ, identified with Christ. I am very pleased with you." Folks, what do you think of Jesus? Are you pleased with Jesus? Does he delight you? Or are you disgusted with him? because he's a loser. Anyone who has to go through this kind of suffering in the name of God, I can't believe in that kind of God. That kind of God deserves to die. The only kind of God I want is someone who entertains me. Does Jesus disgust you? Well, good luck to you then, because in the name of Almighty God, the King and ruler of the universe, you'd better stuff your face with as much joy as you possibly can, COVID lockdown or not, because in eternity you will face the displeasure of this same God whom you have insulted and mocked when he was pleased to pour out his life for you. That is what the Bible calls hell. Facing the displeasure, the annoyance of a God who you have ignored relationship with. Okay? And that's wrong. That's immoral. That's not just. It's not fair. It's rude to him. And so you will not have fun. There is no pleasure in where the Bible calls hell. But if we take hold of Jesus, if we are delighted with him, then be absolutely sure he came to die and rise to take you to a place and to give you a life here worth living, a life of pleasure, but a different kind of pleasure. We now, like Jesus, seek to please God and serve each other, please each other. Not just please each other in the sense of entertaining people. Parents, no holidays now, you got to entertain the children. Yeah, it's not like that. I mean a deep, the Bible means, a deep kind of pleasure where we are living for God and helping other people to live for God, to live well, to live healthy relationships according to truth and justice and righteousness. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, Paul wants the Colossian Christians, all Christians, to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him, please the Lord in every way. That was Colossians verse 10. Let us replace the downward spiral of vice with an upward spiral of virtue, where we seek to please God and please each other. Let us find pleasure in the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 103. The whole of Psalm 119 is a praise to the word of God. But in verse 103 of Psalm 119, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. If I was penning the psalm, I would say sweeter than Krispy Kreme donuts. Those of you who are regular at Grace Point know exactly what I mean. But the psalmist finds pleasure, delight in God's word, in his written word. Yeah, the Bible is a complex book. It's a big book. It's intimidating. Yeah, but it's stacks of fun. It's really interesting. Engage with the Bible. Read it thoughtfully. Start with the New Testament. Okay, Matthew chapter 1, there's this big genealogy at the beginning. That's okay. Just read it quickly. And then you are into the Christmas story. Meditate on the Christmas story and then watch Jesus in action. It's an interesting, pleasurable read. It's not entertaining. It's not Netflix. It's deeper than that, a deeper pleasure, a pleasure of coming in contact with God Almighty and his ways as God the Son on earth. It's different. It's intriguing. It makes us think. It makes us want to live like him. A different kind of pleasure. And let us find pleasure in God through Jesus according to the Bible. Psalm 37 verse 4, Psalm 37 4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. When we read that as hedonists, okay, selfish people, we think, oh good, if I'm a good Christian, then I'll get a nice house, a nice car, a nice girlfriend or boyfriend, I'll get a nice job. No, that's not what it means. It's even when we are Christians, we call ourselves Christians, we follow Jesus, we tend to be hedonistic because of the influence of culture upon us. We can't help it. To delight yourself in the Lord means you find pleasure in God. He will give you himself. The Holy Spirit is promised to everyone who trusts Jesus. And that Holy Spirit will help us to know deeply, emotionally, Jesus according to the Bible. And in him we will know God. God will give himself to us. Expect to enjoy, to find pleasure in God, in Jesus. But not that this kind of superficial, materialistic, selfish, greedy, lazy pleasure of this world. A deep joy, satisfaction in God himself that propels us to find pleasure in serving others, in pleasing others. The Bible calls us all brothers and sisters in Christ, but it's often in church we come up against people we don't naturally hang out with. We don't naturally enjoy their company. That's great. It's called an opportunity to where we can learn to please someone else in the name of Jesus, not just have them do everything our way. You know, that's no fun. Exactly. It's a different kind of pleasure. It's giving yourself to serve someone else and finding joy in that. And if that person follows Jesus, finding the joy in them seeking to serve you and finding their, you are pleased by their pleasure in you. They are pleased in your pleasure in their, in them, and you are pleased in their pleasure in you pleasuring them. And you just get this mutual love, this mutual enjoyment in each other, especially if we come from different ethnic groups, different social backgrounds, different anything, different parts of Sydney, different migrant backgrounds. There is a pleasure, a joy, a satisfaction in putting ourselves, in sacrificing ourselves, in putting ourselves last, serving others second in the name of God first, where relationships are more central than just having a good life, where truth and justice, according to the Bible, biblical morality and biblical righteousness, faith in Jesus who makes us right with God, where that is more central than just enjoying ourselves. Now, folks, this is actually going to be hard work, this different kind of pleasure. It's not you going to work all the time, which is why we need to look forward, last point, look forward to ultimate joy only in God's new creation. Again, back in the good old days, even people who are not Christian naturally understood that most of life is hard work and ultimate joy and pleasure, if you get it in this world, it's only like when you're older and are established, or a lot of people just realized, religious people, you don't have to be Christian, religious people realize that real pleasure and joy is in heaven, nirvana, or Jannah, as the Muslims talk about it. In the Bible, Jesus is the only one. We can't work our way to heaven. That's the difference. Okay, Christianity is different from every other religion. God promises us pleasure if we put our trust in Jesus, but ultimately it's only in glory. This, I hope, will be the only Grace Point sermon where the preacher only refers to the Bible passage right at the end. If you want to go to Psalm 16 now, verses 9 to 11, the very last verses of Psalm 16. Okay? My heart is glad, says David. My tongue rejoices. You will not abandon me. Verse 11, you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Even King David knew that ultimate joy and pleasure is a gift from God to be enjoyed in what we sometimes think of as heaven. And the Apostle Peter uses those verses, verses 9 to 11, in his great Acts chapter 2 sermon, where he talks about Jesus raised from the dead. Folks, because Jesus is raised from the dead, we can be confident, if we put our trust in Jesus, that we will enjoy this pleasure, this joy at the right hand of God, when Jesus brings us back from the dead into heaven, the glorious new creation. So let us wait patiently for that. Pleasure is not the problem. The problem today is that sin and the wealth of contemporary 21st society, sin works with the wealth of today to kick off this vicious cycle of greed and laziness and selfishness and self-indulgence and anger and misery. Jesus shows us that real pleasure is basically flip everything that contemporary Western society takes for granted, flip it all over on its head, which is basically why we're doing this whole series. We here at Grace Point think that everything that people take for granted these days is tragically wrong. And we need to show you from the Bible how the Bible and Christian theology and even like normal thinking, the testimony of history, is that everything is backwards. Jesus shows us that relationships are the core of life, and we should use stuff, we should please others, especially God and other people, before ourselves. and that we should do so according to truth and justice, righteous, what the Bible calls righteousness. Therefore, only Jesus, who was pleased to please God by sacrificing himself for us hedonists, only he can make us right with God. But in his name, those of us who have put our trust in him, let us find that different kind of pleasure. Let us have an upward cycle of Christian virtue where we get to know and delight. We find pleasure in Jesus according to the words of the Bible, and where we find delight in serving each other and serving the world, sacrificing ourselves for those selfish hedonists, even especially when they don't appreciate it. Doesn't that sound like a more satisfying life? Doesn't that sound like a life full of meaning and purpose? A different kind of pleasure where we can look forward to Almighty God saying to us at the end of days when we are raised from the dead, "Good and faithful servant, I am very pleased with you." Let us pray. Thank you, Father God, that you were pleased to send your son for us selfish hedonists. What an amazing thing. That is good news. We pray that you would be pleased to help us meditate on the joy and satisfaction, the pleasure it is to know you, the one true God, because you were pleased to send your son as a sacrifice for our sin. And also, thank you that we can be confident that he now enjoys ultimate pleasure, joy, satisfaction at your right hand in glory. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are pleased to unite us by faith with this Jesus. We ask that you will help us to meditate on what it means to find a different kind of pleasure in your word, in you, in your son, by your spirit. Help us to recognize where we get affected. We can't help it. It's just how it is. We get affected by the selfish, greedy vice of this world. We repent of it. We don't want it. We are not pleased with it, but it's there. We don't realize it somehow. It's dug down deep. So show us. And then help us to put it off and to enjoy you, to be pleased to honor you and pleased to serve each other and serve the world. In so doing, may we be a blessing to the world. We pray that you will rescue our contemporary society from the misery that comes from a sort of radical and blind selfishness, greed, entitlement. Even if they do not become followers of your son, will you save them from the degeneracy and the anger, the pain, the suspicion that comes with that? But more, will you bring revival? Will you be pleased that people will find true joy, meaning, purpose, established pleasure, a different kind of pleasure in Jesus Christ? And in that, will they serve each other? We submit all of these to you. Amen.